Just tell you guys a story. So when I was about 15 years old, I really experienced my first head-on interaction with grief. And I remember sitting in my living room with my parents. It's late night. My dad works nights, so he's getting ready to head to work. And we had just found out that our beloved worship pastor has been a long leader in our church, passed away at the age of 50 by a heart attack suddenly. And we had no idea this was going to happen. And he was, Pastor Andrew was a good friend of my dad's, and someone that was really good in mentoring my father. And so I remember sitting there and showing nothing and just holding it all in until my parents had left to take my dad to work. And then I just let it out by myself, grieving alone. Who taught me that? How did I learn how to grieve? I don't know. I believe we naturally pick some of these things up and we decide to grieve in certain ways. For some of us, we grieve alone and don't tell anybody what's going on. Maybe we try to distract ourselves and we, you know, take the popular but definitely not helpful Netflix and ice cream and movies and TV and whatever we can to avoid what's going on right now. Or we work ourselves to death and think, maybe if I achieve something, then it'll replace this hole in my heart. And the reality is, that's not it. We can't just move on. We can't just ignore it. We have to, as we talked about last week, go through it. We have to go through the wall, and we have to go through this journey of grief and loss. And but don't worry, because clearly there are a lot of answers on how to grieve with ease. So I have discovered all of the answers that there are to grieve with ease. And to make this quick for you, I'm going to give you them on the next slide. If you can't see on the live stream, the slide's blank. There is no answers to grieve with ease. And church, may I submit to you that this is a hard and long and confusing process. There is a, in my hometown of Harrisburg, there's an amusement park called Hershey Park. And there's, you know, roller coasters. They go up and down. And this one called the Sidewinder. That is our journey, is a Sidewinder. We're sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're upside down. We're to the side. We're angry, we're mad, we're sad, we're guilty. We're upset, we're lonely, we're frustrated. All of these different things. But when we grieve God's way, when we spend time with our dear Savior and allow Him to see not a mask, not a doctored up version of ourselves, but who we really are, what is really going on deep inside, we can find real peace and our lives will change forever in time, in God's time. Main idea is this. When you grieve God's way, you are changed forever. Let's pray. Father God, we need you. We cannot do any of this without you. I barely had a sermon a couple days ago, and today you are leading me by your Spirit to be here, and that is because of you. God, we pray that you work us, allow us to open our hearts, open our ears, and allow our souls to be met with you, God. Lead us in how we need to grieve. Help us to work through this and not to do it alone. Jesus, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, have your way in the hearts of those here, in the hearts of those listening to this, and in my heart, Jesus. Please work in us, through us, and among us, we pray. Amen. So in thinking about this, there's only one story in the Bible that I could really talk about. And it's the story of a man who had it all and then in an instant had nothing. It's the story of Job. But did he have nothing? That's actually the question I think that even Job was wrestling with. If I have none of these things, if I have none of my loved ones, if I have nobody on my side, am I actually alone? Or is there a God that is acquainted with my suffering? Is there a God that is near to my grief and knows deep loss? Job was like Elon Musk. He had it all. He had everything you could think of. He had the equivalent of a seven-figure bank account. If he was today, he'd probably be building colonies on Mars. Like he had it. He had all of the wealth you could think of. And wealth isn't everything. He had a lovely family, had a wife, had 10 sons and daughters. And just looking at the trots, man, they blessed beyond compare. And unlike Elon, Lord save him, he was righteous. He was upright. He was a man who walked with God, who feared God and shunned evil. So he was not getting these gains by playing by the world's rules. He actually lived by God and received it. So Satan and God were talking, and Satan's like, yeah, I understand. Or God's first. God's like, hey, what do you think about my servant Job? So God brings him up. Let's keep that in mind. It wasn't just Satan like, oh, I messed this guy up. God brought him up and said, put him to the test. Put you to the test. He said, there is no one more upright than him right now. Test him. Satan's like, yeah, he has all that stuff because he lives for you because you've given him everything. God's like, okay, take it away. Just take it away. But don't kill him. Just don't kill him. So then, all of his livestock, his entire equivalent of a seven-figure bank account, gone. Wiped out. Servants, except for a few, gone. Wiped out. And then, his own beloved children, gone. Wow. And to think that he will get, to think that that's over, then later, we find that even his skin is affected, and he gets boils. He can't sleep. He's restless. All this stuff going on to his body and his health. And then looking for support from his wife, the one physical person left with him that is closest to. She says, yeah, I understand what's going on. You should curse God and die. I know sometimes when that's preached, you know, people laugh and it's like, oh, haha, wow, she was a terrible wife or something like that. But she was grieving. She lost her entire children, all 10 of them. So she wasn't able to help him. So what does he do? Well, let's find that out. Let's stand together and we're going to read Job's first response. And then we're gonna walk through this. And we're going to look at what does it look like to grieve God's way? How do we pay attention? How do we embrace our limits? How do we lean on others? All right. So we're going to read starting at verse 20. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb. And naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. So he loses all of these things. And the question is, why? And why did God choose this story to include in his canon of scripture? Why is this so important? Well, I believe God purposely gives us this story of Job to illustrate that even someone who lost absolutely everything can still choose the better way of staying true to God. But it does not come easy. It is a hard-fought road. And it comes with being honest with God about how he's actually feeling, about understanding that he has limits, and then eventually embracing them, being humbled in the most loving way by our God, and moving forward into new life post grief and loss. You see, I think we have to understand, what does it really mean to grieve God's way? We have to understand, what is it not? It says, God sees grief and loss not as a roadblock that the strongest Christians should run through and the smartest Christians should go around. He sees it as an opportunity for all followers of Jesus to deepen their relationship with him. Our suffering reveals how we view God and our relationship with God. And we do this by first paying attention to our grief and our losses and being real with God about it. And the first thing is, in order to be real with God, you need to have a relationship with him. And that relationship cannot be merely transactional. God, you give me things, I give you things, we just kind of work through, okay, we're business partners, God, or we just kind of do things. But suffering has a way of breaking all that down. It's like, yeah, you can't have a transactional relationship when you're suffering. Okay, God, I'm giving, and I just keep losing. Maybe you need a new relationship. Maybe you need to reset the parameters of the relationship and go by his terms. Stop creating your own. And that's for those who don't know God and for those who do. Sometimes we need to reevaluate our relationship with him. And it's founded on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This has to be, do you listen to God in silence and you speak to God in prayer? You worship God and allow him to teach you through others and through listening to the Holy Spirit working in your life. So we have this, we're working on this foundational relationship with God. We're resetting our parameters. And we need to be honest about what we've lost and how it deeply affected us. So Job, he begins to work through this. And he goes from the Lord gave and the Lord taken away in chapter 1 to this. May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived, that day may it turn to darkness. That's deep. That is real. He's saying, I shouldn't even be here. Later he says, would it please God to crush me? Would it not crush me? Would it please God to crush me? Would you be satisfied if you just took me out, God? As someone who is deeply paying attention and is working through not how they should be, not how it looks good to be, how they are. Now, as we read this, and even as I was reading this week, can make you feel a little uncomfortable. How could he say that? I mean, he was just worshiping God. Why do you have to get so dark? And even the reality is, we're all deeply affected by everything that happens in this broken world. and it affects us in different ways. But what would it be like if we gave space for grief and loss to be a normal part of our life, not an abnormal part, not something that gets in the way of our life of happiness and success and chasing our dreams? What if it was actually just one of the steps that it takes to get closer to God? Because that is our ultimate goal, our ultimate dream, and our ultimate success is to one day be in glory with our Savior. And we don't just live a life with the world here and then go live with God. He says, live with me here, now. Walk with me now. And we have to stop feeling unnatural. And some of that is we have these defenses that Pete Scazzaro likes to talk about in this book that get in the way of grieving God's way. And they're very common, okay? So don't hear me that as we talk about this, you should go home and beat yourself up because you do this. Because let me be the first one to say, I do it all the time. All the time. Here are some of the defenses. Listen, think about, is this me? Is this something that I'm struggling with? Common defenses, grief and loss. Denial. Minimizing. Blaming others. Blaming yourself. I'll add blaming God. Rationalizing. Intellectualizing. Distracting. Becoming hostile. I know my tendency is distracting. I'm ready to pick up this idol that's in my pocket right now anytime I can and look at it, even if it's just something absolutely dumb. Even if it's just to play a game, because it distracts me from my present brokenness. Or blaming God. Okay, this thing happened that I can't explain, so it must be you. You must be the problem. Or blaming others. Or minimizing. But it's by paying attention to these defenses, repenting of them, because we do need to move away from them, and then turning to God that we can healthily work through our grief. And by paying attention to our hurt, being real and transparent with God, we can actually grow in our grief. We can grow in our grief. Sometimes it's like, oh, what's going on with that person? Oh, they're grieving. But in that process of grieving, could we actually grow closer to God, not farther away? Is that possible? Yes, if we lean into Him and stop trying to do it ourselves. It's not about us. We can't do it. If we are to be, here's the thing. In society, everyone is affected by loss. We talked about that. It is one of the universal realities in our broken world. Everybody, non-believer, believer, can agree that we suffer. But if we are to be God's set-apart holy children, we can't run from our grief. We can't ignore our losses. We must limp towards God with our grief and loss in full transparency of where we are in each moment. I said limp. And say run, because it's a lot. And later, in a little bit, we'll talk about what it looks like to embrace our limits. It was like Jacob last week, he had a limp because he had to embrace that there are limits in his life. And now we must embrace those limits. So have you allowed yourself to grow with God lately by leaning into your grief and loss instead of avoiding it? So I'd like to do something. If you guys can take out the note cards that you have, if you don't have a note card, somehow we missed you, feel free to pull out a phone for this moment and put it away, please, and a pen or a notepad, and we're going to just take a second to work this together, because I don't feel like I'd be doing an accurate job if I just spoke to you but didn't give you something tangible to work with. So what I'd like us to do is we're going to take the next 90 seconds to pause before God. Begin to write down some of the things that you're grieving, some of the things that you've lost, some of the things you're afraid to lose, or maybe you're about to lose. Examples: loss of a loved one, relationship loss, friendship loss, loss of youthfulness, loss of a job, loss of physical health for you or a loved one, loss of mental health for you or a loved one, loss of spiritual health for you or a loved one, loss of emotional health for you or a loved one, loss of resources, housing, finances, and opportunity. People's pass away. People don't become the same people we knew. People age. We age. We struggle. We lose some of our energy, some of our time. So let's take a little bit, about 90 seconds, and just think about that. Write down some of the losses in your life, some of the griefs, things you're grieving. And as you think about that, if you're done quickly, feel free to go ahead and think about, what defenses do I struggle with? What things pop up in my life? And bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, maybe things aren't coming quickly. Maybe I need to pray and see what God can do. So we're going to take now the next about 60 seconds and do that. So as we continue, and if you're not done writing, continue to keep writing. This is important. First, I want to say thank you for taking the time to be real with yourself and be real with God. So as I was preparing this message, I realized that I needed to be real with God. I needed to work through something that happened a long time ago, and I needed to share it with y'all for accountability. I needed to open up because I know that sometimes it's more easily for me to share, oh, I'm worshiping, God's so good, it's so great, than I feel like I want to die like Job was. Or I don't know what God's doing and I don't understand it. I'm frustrated. So, So I have another story for you guys. So this is a little messed up. It's okay. So when I was about 19, or even before that, in youth group, I had this friend. Awesome friend. He's a couple years older than me. Kind of treated me like I was his little brother. If you don't know, I'm an only child, so I look for family wherever I can find it. And he just loved me so well. And we like went through high school and did high school things and, you know, mad at each other at different times and didn't understand everything and chasing after girls, all the things you do in high school and like working through that. But one thing I knew about him is he was a man after God's heart, and he loved God so well. And he just was so passionate. Even after high school, sometimes there's this break off where after high school you leave God, but he didn't. He was preparing to be a chef. And just life was going great for him. And I know I was in college at the time. And I was in this class on spiritual formation. And one of the assignments was to fast for 3 days. So I was fasting for 3 days and seeing God move like never before. Speaking to me, hearing the voice of God, working through some of the repentance I needed to do, healing relationships. And a day after the fast, I find out that he tragically passes away in a car accident. And he was 23 years old. That's so hard. And at 19, having to deal with that and feeling sad, feeling guilty, like I should have spent more time with him. I should have came back to that group and should have talked to him more. And then just became angry at God. Here are the couple questions that I was thinking about is, why would God take someone so devoted to him so soon? Like, couldn't he do so much for the kingdom? Or when, like, why there's so many people that are falling away, but this person is following you, God, why would you take them? And then, God, I'm fasting. I'm trying to lean into you. So why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening? I thought this was supposed to be a good time. I'm finally being obedient. That was the first time I think I actually fasted. I actually pressed in. I'm like, come on. Why is this happening? So, as we think about the losses we have written on our cards, what questions do you need to ask God? What do you want to say to him in response to the pain and suffering in your life? Maybe you haven't done that yet. Maybe you've been pushing it off. And I want to say, I want to encourage you that it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to feel anger, sadness, guilt, pain, apathy, loneliness, and to show our Heavenly Father that's exactly where we are. God is big enough. He can handle it. He can handle every thought, every feeling, every question you have with his deep care and love for you. And still have enough strength, wisdom, and power to lead you through each broken moment. But as we pay attention to our grief and loss, we bring God our real emotions, our questions. This process takes time. We can't just change overnight because God created us with limits. And it's actually through embracing our limits that we can rest in him all the more. God even put limits on his work when he rested on the seventh day. And then he called us to rest, called us to follow this. There is a limit on how much you should work. And in times of suffering, it's often when these limits come up. Maybe you lose a car and you realize there are limits here. That the plan I had is not the plan that is going to happen now. Maybe you lose, you have the limit of time where there's not enough time in the day. And you're only one person. You can't do everything. You can't go everywhere. There's only so much work that you can do in your life. There's only so much accomplishments you can do. A limit I'm facing right now is with my foot. I've been a runner since the eighth grade. I've been running. And I have a strained tendon right now on my foot. And it's limiting me. And it's frustrating. And it's annoying. But I know that in this particular case, if I keep going, it's going to get worse. And if we try to live like we're somebody that we're not, like we don't have limits, it's going to get worse. So Job, he's missing the fact a little bit that he has limits. Because he's demanding an answer. In the middle of Job, he's like, I need an answer. Justify me. Show me what's going on here. He doesn't understand that God is mysterious. That he's not going to just answer everything. But Job feels justified in his right to come to him and say, I want answers. You ever feel like that? You're like, God, I want answers. The situation I just shared with you, I was like, God, I want answers. Why would you do this? Tell me. And yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But just working through that, Job, along with us, has limits. We have to embrace these limits. We have to realize that these limits actually present us with other opportunities. By embracing our limits, we trust that God is revealing the best plan for our life that ultimately results in a lifelong journey of knowing God deeper, of loving God and those around us in supernatural ways that only He can provide. Embracing our limits allows God to be God and us to be His children. Less answers, but more God. Less fighting for approval, but more God. Less being the hero, but more God. Less doing it all, but more God. As we pay attention to these things, oh, that's a different page. So I have limits too. I obviously am not always on track, but God is good, and that's okay. So I wanted to share. I'm young, okay, young person.
Amen.
And young people in general, I'll speak for myself. We're not great at embracing limits. It's something we're working towards, and often we need help from others that have gone through the process of grieving, have gone through these things to really understand how to embrace our limits. And that actually happened this week without even prompting it. It wasn't a forceful thing. It wasn't like, I need to find an illustration. I need something. Like, it just kind of happened. I was talking with my good friend, Marie Whitehead, and Miss Marie, she likes to be affectionately called, was just telling me her story and telling me about how lately she has been feeling so much joy and happiness. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You might not know why that's interesting. So Marie has a lot of physical limitations that she'll tell you about. Often she can't get out of the house more than twice a week. Often has to come here in some type of walker. And is limited on the amount of energy that she can spend in a day because it'll tire her out. But still, God has used her in this. She told me it's been a long time of working through my grief. Processing through, God, why can I do this? Why can I do this? To get to the point where now God is blessing her in so many ways. There's an app we use called Glue, and it's like digital evangelism. And she is like the soldier of Glue. Like, she is just like on everybody because that gives her so much joy. And so because she's home and has the time, her limitations are actually leading to opportunity to bring people to Christ. And give her joy in the process. Her limitations are leading to opportunities. So don't think of your limitations as, oh, well, my life's over. You know, like young people, sometimes we have this like, well, when I hit 30, my life's over. If you're over 30, you're like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Or maybe you're like, when I hit 50, my life's over. When I hit 70, my life's over. No, no. Job lived to over 100. And he ended up having a full life because he dealt with his grief. He dealt with his loss. He embraced his limits. So let's take another 90 seconds. Write down three limits that you're facing right now. Write down three limits. All right. Thank you guys again for being real with God, being real with yourself, recognizing that you have limits and being willing to take the steps and embracing them. And with this story of Marie, I want to get back to that real quick, that when you're grieving, we need to lean on others, those who are also grieving God's way. Job, he found out what it looked like to have friends that aren't grieving God's way. You know, the story of Job, they just kept telling him, you must be sinning, or you must be doing this, you must be doing that. He's like, no, I'm not. And you guys are hurting me by even saying that. So lean on others that grieve God's way. And lean on God, ultimately. Because Job, he had to lean on God. There was no one around that was doing that. Lean on God first. And it also, as we grieve God's way, we can be those that people can lean on. It says, bear each other's burdens, though fulfilling the law of Christ. we can be that when we grieve God's way. And in that is a process of humility. Humility brings us closer to God as we grieve. So Job, back to Job, man. He's trying to get answers from God. He's not doing a really good job of embracing all of his limits. So God shows up and answers him. But he's coming to God. He's coming to God. God shows up and hits him with a be humble moment. Says, sit down, be humble. And so Job is reaching this climax. He's giving all this. And God says, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. And then he lays out, where were you when you, do you wake up the deer? Do you know how many feathers are on the birds? Do you know who raises the sun? Were you there when I put the moon in the sky? And he goes into this whole descriptive detail of the earth as he created it. He says, where were you? You think that you are owed this understanding. I don't owe you anything. And yet I love you. And I'm doing this because I want you to see. God's not saying sit down and you just need to listen to me. It's not this punitive response. It's actually a loving response to humble him. Because the word humility in the Latin means of the earth. So God's saying, all right, Job, come on back down. Come on back down to earth. You're human. You always will be a human. You have limits. Come back down. But I'm here, and I'm ready for you to follow me. I'm ready to lead you. I have your plans in my hand. I hold it all in the palm of my hand. He's saying, come back down. He's saying, Greg, come back down. You think you got to do it all? You think you got to handle this grief by yourself? You think that it's not strong as a man to grieve publicly? It's not okay to be vulnerable. Come back down. Come to me. Spend time with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Rest in me. Bring your burdens to my feet. Bring your grief to me. Don't just minimize your loss. These distractions won't do anything for you like I do. Come back down. So Job, you think he like just didn't get it. It's like, all right, Job, what's going on here? And then says this. Says, you asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Embracing his limits. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, you will answer me. And get this. It says, my ears have heard of you. So I knew that you were God. Maybe I had this transactional relationship with you. I knew who you were. I knew you were God. I came to church on Sunday. You know, I'm always hearing about you. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I live in America. I can't not hear about God. I'm always hearing about God. I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to life group. And I'm doing all these things. But now that I'm grieving your way, Jesus, now that I'm stepping into your presence, allowing you to deal with me honestly, to hear where I'm actually at, now, Job says, but now my eyes have seen you. I have seen you. I know who you really are, God, because you've opened yourself up to me. Not just heard on the street. I've spent time with you, God. Time wrestling through my grief. Time dealing with it, not running away from it. What a beautiful moment. Job's friends didn't lead him closer to God. Job trying to vindicate himself wasn't going to do it. He needed an encounter with the living God. A long process of encountering God again and again. Times where he was angry and frustrated. Times where he was sad and lonely. times where he was looking for answers. And ultimately, he finds out that all he needs is Jesus. So working through our grief and loss gets us to that final point where we realize all I need is Jesus. And I can live in this life that all I need is Jesus. And we're broken. And so we begin to pick up other things. And we say, well, I need Jesus, but I could also deal with this too. And I could also have this. And then more suffering happens. And we bring it back to God. And he straightens us up again and sends us on our way with his loving grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we grieve with God, his way, our relationship with him deepens. Our view of God becomes clearer. We see the blessings of embracing our limits. We continue to do the work, being humble with our God. We now begin to change. So, and then, in God's time, we become new. Says chapter 42 of Job, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. And it's not just about the fact that he got all of his cattle back. He had new children. His wealth was restored. It's the fact that now he has a more intimate relationship with a loving father. Today is Pentecost. It's the day of Pentecost. Yesterday was not Pentecost. It was Saturday. No, but yesterday I was at ShopRite and this guy handed me a track. Didn't talk to me. Didn't say anything. Just handed me a flyer. Told me about Jesus. When we don't deal with our grief, how can we actually reach others with the gospel? When we don't learn how to love people intentionally, and I'm sure my man was trying to love the Lord well, but what is just a paper going to do? What is it just going to do if I just come up to you and I tell you the four spiritual laws, or I tell you you're a liar, you're a sinner? If I don't show you in my life that I have actually adopted what Jesus has told me to do, that I have brought my deepest suffering, something that everyone can relate to, and bring it back to Jesus. I had the opportunity to perform some poetry yesterday. If you don't know, I do some poetry and spoken word stuff. And there's a line in my poem that was hitting me as I was sitting here for worship. It's interesting how some of the things you write actually end up hitting you. Said, I am bold, but definitely broken, seeking beauty, longing for the beautiful to reveal the love of creation. It's that this, we are bold in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, but we also have to be open about our brokenness and that we need more of God to heal us. And when we preach that gospel, the true gospel that says, though I suffer, I still hope in the Lord. Though I fall down again and again, I still hope in the Lord. I still give, and I don't do it where I'm not angry, where I'm not, I bring them all of my emotions. I bring them all of me. That is how we build the kingdom. We give people the realness of what God has done and is doing in our lives. And we love them like no other. So what I want you to do as I wrap up is to take your card with you. And after the service, share it with somebody that you feel comfortable sharing with. It could be somebody in here. That could be somebody in your family. That could be somebody that you've been engaging in a conversation about Christ. And you think this would be a good way to bridge the gap. What I want you to do is say, hey, this is what I've lost. This is where I'm grieving. These are my limits. And I want to start or continue today bringing my suffering to the Lord. Would you pray for me? With someone in relationship with God, can we pray about this together? And then, as you see God bringing new out of the old in your life, it may be weeks, maybe months, it may be years, please tell as many people as possible about this. What our God has done in your life. And watch as the love of Christ goes forward through followers of Jesus who learn to work together to do the hard work of grieving God's way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,